All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and look at the same story we looked at this morning, only from a different gospel, all right? Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Most of the same story, not all of it. There's not talking about Thomas here in this chapter, but he is talking about the appearance in the evening to the disciples. So if you'll look at Luke 24, and you are familiar with this passage. Of course, it's telling us about the resurrection of Christ. And starting in verse 13, we have the Lord Jesus joining up with the two disciples, Cleopas in verse 18, one of them whose name was Cleopas. And I think when we all get to heaven, we're going to find out that Mrs. Cleopas was the other person in the party. And they were walking home. They were going back to Emmaus in verse 13. Emmaus was about 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. And they had been in Jerusalem all for the Passover, had been there all week, and were now on their way home. all the way down to verse 32. In verse 32, they said one to another after the Lord revealed himself and then taught them the Bible, and then vanished right in front of them, right out of their sight. They said one to another in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Man, I'd like to have gotten in on that Bible study, wouldn't you? I bet that was something. But then let's pick it up now in verse 33, and you follow along as I read. It says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, I want to take these verses to you that I read for you tonight, and I want to preach a message that I have entitled, The Surprise of the Resurrection. The Surprise of the Resurrection. All right, let's pray together and then a message. Father, I pray tonight you'll help us. I've got a terrible cold. And so, Lord, help me tonight not to cough and to be able to preach the message without being a distraction. And so, Lord, help me tonight. I need your help. And I pray you'll bless what I'm about to say. I want this to encourage our hearts tonight. I want us to be blessed by the Word of God. And as we think on this matter of this element of surprise that was connected to this resurrection that we read about, what a blessing as we think on this thought tonight. And I pray that it will do just that, be a blessing to our hearts. May we be encouraged in the things of God. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. You know, there is no doubt that the Bible is a book that is just full of surprises. If you just think about that for a minute, you will realize that's true. In a very real sense, the Bible is a handbook on surprises. Just think about the Old Testament for a minute. Oh, the Old Testament's full of surprises. Let's jump to the book of Exodus for a minute. Moses and his life, it was just one big surprise. I mean, who would have ever thought he's out on the backside of the desert and he sees a tree burning and yet it's not consumed? And he said, I'm going to go over and check that out, see what's going on. He walks over to the tree and surprise, God was in the tree. And God spoke to him. God said, take your shoes off, Moses, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. They got down to the Red Sea. And they had Pharaoh's army coming behind them. They had the desert to the south or to the north. They had the mountains to the south. The Red Sea is out in front of them. They stand there looking at that thing and say, now what? And God says, what's that in your hand, Moses? He said, it's my staff. And he said, touch the water with it. And Moses reached his staff down in and touched the water, and all of a sudden the waters began to part. And it blew a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other side, and the entire children of Israel walked across on dry ground. Surprise, God showed up. What are we going to do now? Wait a minute, I got a surprise for you. And he just parted the water for them to go over. And you can think about the Old Testament, and it's just one surprise after another. You get over into the New Testament and you think, well, all right, we're in the New Testament now. Well, the New Testament is full of surprises as well. When you turn the Bible from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and right there in the beginning of the Gospels is the story about these wise men who were in the east, and all of a sudden they saw a star and the Lord spoke to their hearts. They get up and leave and come and find the Lord Jesus. Surprise, the Messiah has been born. The shepherds are out taking care of their flocks by night. And, it was just a normal night, just a night like every other night. But then all of a sudden the heavens lit up and the angels began to sing. And all of a sudden, the heavens are filled with the angels of God, and there's rejoicing. And they said, go into Bethlehem, and there you'll find his mother and the babe lying in a manger. And they went up to Bethlehem, and boom, there he was. Surprise. It's just full of surprises. There's surprises everywhere you look. And then you keep reading and you see our Lord entering into his ministry. And once he started his earthly ministry, he surprised everyone with the things that he did. Once Jesus started that earthly ministry, the way he healed disease and the way he cured leprosy and gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, every person who saw these miracles that he did simply could not believe what their eyes were seeing. The disciples, they couldn't get over all the things that he could do. They watched him calm the sea one night. Remember that? And they turned and looked at one another and said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and seas obey his will?" Surprise, he even had power over nature. But he was God. Nicodemus said to Jesus on that night when he met him in John 3, and he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do the things that thou doest except God be with him." Folks, truth is, he surprised every person with all the wonderful things that he did. But then something happened that surprised the disciples. You remember that they were expecting him just to go into Jerusalem and take a seat upon the throne and start ruling and establishing his kingdom. But when he came into Jerusalem, they arrested him and he was crucified. He died on the cross. And to each of his disciples, that was a major surprise. They certainly did not expect their master to die. His death took each one of them completely by surprise, even though he had told them over and over and over that he was going to Jerusalem and that he would die on the cross in that city. I dare say that not a single one of those men thought that their master was going to allow himself to be put to death. How could he sit on the throne of David if he's dead? And so they did not think that it would happen. But in spite of all the warnings he gave them, this seemingly impossible tragedy came upon all of the disciples as a complete surprise. Now, thinking of all these surprises, let's take this thought and amplify upon it as we think about the resurrection. There are just a couple of things I want you to see tonight. The first thing I want you to consider is this. If they were surprised by his death, it seems that they were even more surprised by his resurrection. And they were surprised by his death. Now, how can this be? How can they have been surprised either by his death or his resurrection? Had he not told them over and over that he was going to die? And did he not tell them over and over that if he died, he would be resurrected on the third day? Yes, he told them. He told them several times. But not a one of them recalled a single word that he said about his resurrection. There's no record. As far as the Gospels go, in all four Gospels, there is no mention that any of the disciples recalled even one word that he said about a resurrection. And when he resurrected, it surprised them. But now here's the ironic thing. His enemies remembered that he said he would resurrect. Isn't that right? That's amazing, isn't it? How many times did Jesus say in the hearing of the disciples, "O ye of little faith"? And it's amazing to me that not a one of them recalled a single word that he said about a resurrection, but his enemies remembered that he said he would resurrect. Don't you remember that his enemies went to Pilate and they asked Pilate to set a guard because they remembered that he said that in 3 days he would rise again. Now, I do not think that these enemies believed that he would, but they did remember that he said that he would on a number of occasions. But there is no record in any of the four Gospels that any of the disciples remembered his promise. And when Peter and John came running to the tomb and saw that it was empty that morning, they were surprised to find it empty. And don't forget, they knew that he had died on the cross. So if he was not in that tomb, they knew that the tomb had to be emptied in one of two ways, either by the power of man or by the power of God. They knew that. If it was emptied by man, it would either have to be friend or foe. And they were his friends. And they knew that they had not taken his body. They did not have the means nor the power to overtake the guards and claim his body. You remember that when he died on the cross, they all fled like frightened animals. So they certainly were not about to try to charge the tomb and steal away his body. And of course, they knew his enemies would not have stolen his body. That's the last thing they wanted, was an empty tomb. So Christ's death surprised them. And then the resurrection surprised them. But it's hard to argue with facts, isn't it? Huh? And boy, when they walked in and saw that tomb was empty, and when they saw the angel sitting there, and the angels made the announcement that he is not here, for he is risen, it's hard to argue with that. And that leads me to the second thing. I just want to amplify upon this. The disciples were surprised by the fact of the resurrection. Look back into the earlier part of this chapter for just a moment and notice that when the women went to the tomb and found it empty, they were perplexed. Look at verse 11 in this chapter. Verse 4, it says, "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." The women were perplexed, but I want you to look at verse 11. In verse 11, when Mary and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James and the other women, went and told the apostles in verse 11, their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They believed them not. When the women told the disciples that the tomb was empty, they did not believe the women. They did not believe it. They had the same life experiences that all of us have had, that when someone dies, that's it. They're dead. We know they're dead. And they don't come back from death. And everyone these disciples had watched him die such a brutal death on that cross. They watched him be buried in that tomb. So how could he possibly come back to life after the brutal death he had suffered? But then if you look at verse 36, that evening, the Lord Jesus appeared right in their midst. Now, folks, you talk about a surprise. Now get the picture in your mind. Those of you that have been to Israel with us, you've been in that upper room. I mean, it's not very big. And you've been in that upper room. You have seen it with your own eyes. And can you imagine sitting in there huddled up, and the door shut and the windows closed, and you're sitting in there in fear, and then all of a sudden, boom, there is the resurrected Son of God standing in front of you. I would have been a surprise to anybody. I told you this morning, I'd have been looking for a door. You know, I'd have been looking for a door. The only thing that would have kept them all from jumping out the windows and knocking down the walls to get out of there was the fact that they knew it was him. Amen. They knew that it was him. And what I find fascinating is that when Christ left them 40 days later, he said that he would be back one day in the clouds and call those who know him up to heaven to be with him forever. And do you know what he said about that coming again? He said that no man knows the day nor the hour. In other words, folks, it's going to be a surprise. But he's coming again. And so who better to look for his coming than these disciples who, when sitting in that room, boom, all of a sudden there he just showed up. And so before he left, he said, now I'm going to surprise you again one of these days. Wow, folks, could it be that his coming is right around the corner for us? Oh, I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? But I want you to notice something. When they saw him here, that's when they believed. That's when they believed. You see, just 3 days earlier, they had all fled. Just 3 days earlier, they were hiding and afraid for their lives. But the fact of the resurrection changed these men in a dramatic fashion. You see, folks, you cannot argue with facts. And the living Savior standing right in front of them, right in their midst, when they saw him die and they saw him buried, that changed them from doubting skeptics into believing saints with a new and a living hope. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know they believed that he was indeed resurrected? I know that they believed it because of the change that happened in their lives. They were never the same after they saw him resurrected. They were transformed into men of great faith, and each and every one of them to a man, except for Judas, of course, died proclaiming a risen Savior even after they had thought him to be dead forever. Every one of them. The book of Acts tells their story. The book of Acts tells us how they went out and preached. And what did they preach when they went out? They preached the resurrection. Just weeks earlier, Peter denied that he even knew who the Lord Jesus was. But then 5 weeks later, he could stand in the fourth chapter of Acts, just 5 weeks from the cross, and accuse the exact same court that had condemned Christ. Peter stood and condemned them for killing an innocent man. Wow. How could he do that? Because he believed in the resurrection. That's how. He believed in the resurrection. Peter was no longer shaking with fear, but he stood before them with a condemning finger pointed right at their faces and accused them of killing an innocent man. And what made the difference? I'll tell you what it was. It was the fact of the resurrection. The fact. They were convinced. They saw him. They talked to him. And through being convinced by the facts, they went preaching, convincing the world that Jesus was the living Savior. You know, it was said of them that they turned the world upside down. I tell you, convinced men can do that. Convinced men can do that. And only convinced men would do something like that. But then the last thing I want you to see, I want you to think of this. Why did they believe in the resurrection? Why did they believe this? Again, as I read the Gospels here, they were surprised by everything that happened. Yet, they were eventually convinced. The question is, why? What convinced them? What was it that convinced them? Well, Here it is, I think. They believed because every one of them had a personal encounter with the living Christ. Every one of them. To some, he appeared unto them individually. And several times, he appeared to the whole group. And Paul would later tell us that he appeared to 500 people at one time. 500 at one time. Their faith was not based on hearsay, but their faith was based on personal experience. You remember what Mary Magdalene said? She voiced the reason for her faith in the Savior when she just proclaimed, "I've seen the Lord. He's alive. I've seen Him." She said so. As we learned this morning, looking at John's account of this, the 10 said to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." And later, we learned this morning, Thomas would see Him too. Right here in our chapter, Cleopas and his wife, they came running back into town to tell the group. And they said, "Oh, how our hearts did burn within us as He walked with us in the way." Folks, I'm telling you, they all had a personal experience with the living Savior. The question that I have for you tonight is, have you had this life-changing experience with the Lord? Have you had that life-changing experience? It's called in the Bible salvation. It's called being born again. It's called being saved from your sin. It's called being changed from darkness into light. It's called being redeemed. I mean, listen, folks, it's possible for folks to sit here on a Sunday morning and say that we give a nod of the head to what Easter signifies, but I want to ask you, is it personal? Have you had a personal experience of faith in the resurrected living Savior? Have you been saved? A lot of folks believe the fact of the resurrection just like they believe in any other fact of history. But do you have a personal experience with that faith in the Lord? I think it's amazing how the Bible handles the resurrection. I think it's just absolutely amazing. And the Lord Jesus, through that 40-day period, you say, "Pastor, why did He stay 40 days? He had to train those men that although He was gone, He was never gone. And He would show up here, and then He would show up here, and then He would show up here, and then He would show up here. And it 40 days, He stayed with them. And He showed them that He will always be with them. They may not be able to see Him, but they learned that He would never leave them nor forsake them. Now, folks, just imagine them sitting in that upper room on this night. And then, surprise, there He is. You know, they should have learned because it was just one surprise after another. "Lord, look at this line of people all the way down this mountain." Remember that? And He healed them all. There was not a one that He could not handle. 10 lepers came up. Lepers. There's no cure for leprosy. And the Lord Jesus didn't even bat an eye. Just told him, "Go your way. You're cured." There's old Bartimaeus. "Bartimaeus, Lord, what would You have me do for You, Bartimaeus?" "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And he got his sight. Surprise. Man, it was just one surprise after another. And you know, one of these days when we're all caught up in life and, you know, we got the basketball tournament going on and we've got this happening and this race is coming up and taxes are due and election's on and we got to go vote and blah, blah, blah. And summer's coming. We got vacation lined up. And while we're all busy with everything we got going on in our little old lives, one of these days that trumpet's going to sound. Surprise. Why should you be surprised? I told you I was coming back. But that's the way our Lord seems to do things. And he did say, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready? Because surprise, it's going to happen. Just as sure as I'm standing here, just as sure as you're sitting there, the Lord is going to come back. Better get ready for it. Could be today.